to an Upper Dart. I'm an alcoholic. I thank God for another sober day and another day of life, and I want to welcome all the newcomers and visitors to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's getting a pretty good day today, ain't it?
Yeah, sure.
It's going to get better. Come to Alcoholics Anonymous, it's gotten better for me. I walked in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1972. That's been about 37 years ago. I was 22 years old. I want to welcome all of you young people to Alcoholics Anonymous. You're not too old or too young to make this program. And it's not how much you drink or how long you drink, it's what it does to you. And for myself, man, you know, it did me a lot of damage. I've been in and out of juvenile halls and jails and, you know, drank since I was 15 years old. And in and out of trouble since I was 15 years old. But I couldn't figure it out that it was alcohol that was doing me a lot of damage. I was brought up and raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You know, there were, you know, the yucca grows and the roadrunner roams, and we drink a lot down there. And I got into a lot of trouble. I was born in the barrio. I'm a Mexican descent. You know, when I came to Fresno, California, down here to Fresno, because they chased me out of Albuquerque, New Mexico for too many drunk driving charges. It was either that or do some time in a county jail. So freedom looked a lot better for me out here in California. So I ended up there in Fresno, California, you know, the land of the nuts and fruits over there. And we were all pretty nutty back then. Hung around with my guys. I had 4 or 5 guys who were gangbanging, drinking, going to juvenile hall, in and out of jail, you know, thought we were looking good, you know, got married and ended up right here in Fresno, California. No money, no job, all beat up. See, that's what happens when you drink. You get beat up. You know, and you know, the way to work this program is, you know, for everybody here, this is supposed to be no mind-altering drugs. That's how AA works, too. You can't stop drinking if you're smoking a little dope on the side. You know, AA don't work that way. Shooting up a little bit, snorting a little bit, you know, cooking this, cooking that, whatever it is. This is the way it starts. No mind-altering chemicals. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous gave me. And it gave me a good way to live. For 37 years, without a drink, without any dope, without nothing. This Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's here for everybody. It's free. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, give yourself a chance. Give yourself a break. I don't care how old or how young you are. Give yourself a break. Your whole life starts right here. It did for me. And I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for everybody in this room. This is something that you got to do for yourself. And this is why I'm here tonight. Because I want to stay sober. I still want to continue to stay sober and live this way of life that I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I grew up in AA. But when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was a PhD. I had a degree. Poor, hopeless, drunk. That's all I was here. I couldn't read or write when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I'm one of these people, dyslexic or can't read, couldn't read or write. Went to about the 9th grade, still couldn't read or write. Got kicked out of there. Got kicked out of everywhere I went. So you don't have to have a big old education, you know, to make it here in Alcoholics Anonymous. You don't even have to read like me. For a lot of years, I couldn't read the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Until one day, this old timer told me, Bernard, you think you don't want to read, why don't you go back to school? After 3 years of being sober around here and listening to these people of what they've been doing, you know, just by not drinking one day at a time. Just don't drink today, don't get loaded today, and things are going to be good. And they have been good for me. I had some hard times here in AA. Hell, it's not a good roller coaster around here. We get our ups and downs, but I don't have to go get drunk. This is another thing they taught me here in Alcoholics Anonymous. You don't have to drink ever again. You have choices here in Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is what I found, choices. You know, you got a choice either to drink or not to drink. You got a choice to go out there and get loaded. Or you got a choice to, you know, shoot somebody, go get steal, rob. Them old ideas that kept us drunk all the time. And it did me. I had to do a 90-degree turn here in AA. You know, we don't ask you very much here to do very much in Alcoholics Anonymous. All we ask you to do is change your whole way of living and thinking. And you know, alcoholics, they don't like to think. And they're too damn lazy to do anything. I don't want to work. I just want to sit at the Alano Club and do nothing. I used to go to Alano Club in prison a lot. That was my first meeting when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And the guy that came to my house, he really conned me into it, man. He said, he talked to me. We talked to him to the office. He came down and gave me all this deal about all this literature. Hell, I can read half of it, but anyway. But you know what caught me? We have a bar down there and pool table at this club. And I said, oh, shit, they got booze over there, man. I'm going to go down there and check this out. Maybe I can, cool my trouble down. That was my excuse, to stop drinking. I'll just cool my trouble down and then continue to drink. But they got a club down there. I'm going to go down there to that Alano Club. But, they had no booze or anything there. They showed me how to stop drinking. Man, I was long-faced and miserable for a while without that booze. Man, I loved to drink. I loved it. I loved to drink. Get in trouble, be that big macho bad Bernard. There he comes. I had a name for myself. And man, if I came any cooler than what I did, I would have probably froze here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And then being this macho Mexican dude. Man, I'm a fag. I'm mad dog everybody in AA. There were two old. There were old Skid Row winos here in AA. Old. Let me tell you, man, back in 1972, there weren't any young guys. The youngest guy was 39 years old. And I said, man, what am I doing here? On top of that, there were no Mexican dudes. There was only like four of them in there. Out of 500 people in AA in Fresno, in 21 meetings, and four Mexicans. I said, God damn, what the hell's going on? I can't trust these albinos in here. These white guys, you can't trust them. We kept separate from you guys. But come to find out in Alcoholics Anonymous, there's no race prejudice around here. We're all alcoholics trying to stay sober and trying to live here, There's only two kinds of alcoholics. And I don't have to be too bright to figure that one out. Male and female, that's it. And we all suffer from this disease called alcoholism. But it can get better, this disease, I can arrest it. And I've been arresting it with the program Alcoholics Anonymous. Because that sick Bernard, he comes out once in a while. He gets mad, wants to beat up people, and he's still there. He's hidden by all these AA steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had to get honest with myself and really look within me. Am I a real alcoholic at 22? Man, I couldn't buy it, man. It was hard for me to admit to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic at 22 years old. Alcoholics are those Skid Row winos living out on the streets and everything else. That's the picture I had in my mind of an alcoholic until I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous. And another thing is, I used to go to meetings. I think I had about 30 days, and this guy, Bob, from Sonia, used to take me to meetings, And I used to go around saying, because it was hard for me. I used to go around saying, I'm Bernard, I'm on a halfway alcoholic. And I didn't know what I had to do in AA, Because in the streets, you gotta get into a little bit of a rumble or you gotta do something to join the gang, And so this guy stands up in a meeting and he says, hey man, either take this like pregnancy, man, either you are or you're not an alcoholic. Either you are or you're not. And if you don't like it, there's a damn door. And I said, well, maybe I got to beat this guy up in order for me to join AA. So there I was, man. So he gets up and he takes off after he tears me up in that meeting. So I said, man, I can have this. So I started after him. And this guy holds me back. He said, Bernard, man, we don't do that, man. You don't have to beat him up to join AA, man. It just all starts with just stop drinking. I said, well, I don't want to stop drinking. I just came down here to cool my troubles down, man, because I'm tired of going to jail and tired of beating up my wife and everything else, that alcoholics do, We're so abnormal. I was pretty sick when I got here at 22 years old. Physically, mentally, spiritually sick, man. Hated everybody because I couldn't drink. Ain't nothing worse than an alcoholic that can't have a drink. Ain't that right? Man. Especially your wife on you, stop drinking. The cops are after you, stop drinking, you know, stop using whatever your choice of drug is. And go into jail. Man, I hated going to jail. I hated all that stuff. I hated myself, most of all. You know, later on in this program, you look at yourself. You get honest with yourself. You admit to yourself that you're an alcoholic. You begin to work the steps. First step, you know, I admitted I was an alcoholic. And then that second step, you know, like, have a power greater than myself restoring your sanity. I said, what kind of stuff is that? You people are insane, man. I'm not. I know what's going on. I might not know how to read and stuff, but man, I ain't stupid. You know. And ain't no way you guys have stayed sober for 5 or 10 years. Ain't nobody can do that, man. You guys are loaded. You were napping. You were enjoying fun. There was a guy in AA back in prison named Tommy Arbuckle. And that guy had 17 years and he still was bobbing his head at a meeting, man. I said, how the hell can somebody have 17 years and act like a dope fiend? You know what I mean? He's got to be on something. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't trust anybody. Yeah. So, you know, and then you heard that God stuff. If it wasn't for God, and God this, and God that, and then, you know what really topped it off? When they passed the basket around, another damn religious rip-off place. You know, that's what I thought Alcoholics Anonymous was. Another religious ripoff. Too much God around here. Until this one guy told me, he said, you don't have to believe in God to stay sober. You don't have to do anything. Just stop drinking. That's it. Think about it. Whatever happened to you every time you drank? So I started thinking, for once in my life here in Alcoholics Anonymous, because, you know, when we're loaded, we can't think. The next day, man, that the embarrassment comes in. I'm in jail again. I'm broke. Man, here I am. I'm going to have to go. The worst thing for me is to do, I was tired of going up against the judge, drunk driving. I used to swear up and down to my mother, I ain't going to drink, man. I promise, Mom. Shit, 2 weeks later, I was back in the drunk tank. Again. So this is what happened to me, man. And today is a pretty good day. I haven't been to jail in about 37 years. And to top it off, I haven't hit anybody in 37 years. There was one time, man, I had about 3 years sober. This is how sick I was. 3 years sober in AA. So this guy, man, he kind of disrespected me. So I was going to beat him up in AA. Man, that's pretty insane, huh? Pretty insane, crazy thing that was. And then this old timer told me, hey, Bernard, if you don't do something about your anger and work on it, you're going to go to jail in sobriety. You know? It's just like a drunken old horse thief. So you bring him into AA, you sober him up, what do you got? You got a sober horse thief. So I had to change some of these defects of character, you know, that I had with me that drove me to drinking. But I kept coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. I kept listening to these old timers. You know, today I know there's a power greater than myself out there. I know that today, but it took me, some time. You know, it took me time in Alcoholics Anonymous to really listen to the message. You know, the compulsion for drink left, and I really wanted to drink. I wanted to drink and not to drink, and I was fighting it for 45 days, and one day it was lifted. I didn't want to drink anymore. I wanted to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. These people were laughing and enjoying life, and that's something I never had. And there were friends here in AA, all walks of life. And they were getting along and laughing and going on 12-step calls and, you know, really giving of themselves, you know. And I found out that these people were staying sober for years. I just lost a good friend of mine, a good Mexican friend of mine in AA, the first guy, Mexican guy, he had 4 years. So I followed him around for a while, man, to see if he was lying to me that he had 4 or 5 years sober. And this old timer, he died with 42 years sober. 42 years. And he was a very good, active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. So my goal in life is to die sober. That's it. I want to die sober. You know, I don't want to go back out there and get drunk. And then the most insane thing that I can do is go out and get drunk. Guys, I got to be totally nuts. a person like me after 37 years to go out and get drunk. It's ridiculous. So drinking to me has, you know, it's the last thing on my mind. Because I'm too busy living and enjoying life. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is. It's a place where you can put your life back together again. There's hope here in AA. And this is what I found through all you people. You people here tonight are keeping me sober. Even that back table over there where they're hiding back there. It's all right. I used to do the same thing. Until this long guy told me, Bernard, sit up for us. You can really hear the message. You don't have to hide anymore. What is there to hide from? We get honest here in AA. You know, we get a little sense of of pride and self-respect. You know, and we know what we're doing today. And this is what I found. I don't fear anybody or anything. Nothing. And this is a tool that this program has taught me. Would you believe that I stayed at a job for 29 years at one job. Didn't have to get mad and quit. Didn't have to blame it on my boss. You know, didn't have to hate my boss. You know, I don't like hating. It's bad business for me. It's a luxury I can't afford. That and anger. Those are my two defects of character, especially anger. If I'm in a very heated argument, I gotta walk away from it for my own safety. You know, because I don't want to go to prison for nobody. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to lose what I got. It's precious. Because if I stay sober, and if I think about the situation, things will be good. And this is what I found in here in Alcoholics Anonymous. For once I can think. Sometimes I used to react before thinking. And it was a wrong thing for me to do. So today I try to do the right thing. In all my affairs. I work at Alcoholics Anonymous in all my affairs. Because I got to live with myself. If I'm doing something that ain't quite right, I know it's not quite right. I got to make it right for me. And I'm talking about myself here. I'm not talking about anybody else in this room. You know, this is what I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. That there's a power greater than me that restored me back to sanity. And it's here for everybody. And then this guy, they got a third step in Alcoholics Anonymous. You turn your life and your will over to God as you understand Him. Not as you or Him. Find your own God as you understand. You know, work with Him. And there is a God. It's a physical, mental, and spiritual program. You know, the spiritual end of it keeps me going here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I know there is a God. And He's a good God. I thought God was a punishing God. My parents never had too much religion. They just told me, when you grow up, find your own religion. Which, you know, it's good. My mom always believed in God. But she never went to church. You know, towards the end, she did. But, you know, it's anybody's choice. I tried to follow Alcoholics Anonymous to the best of my ability. I'm not perfect. There's times where, you know, hell, I get a little mad, my voice gets loud, or I cuss somebody out, I gotta go make amends. Man, you make enough amends, you get tired of it. So you start watching it next time. Watch what you say, and you watch what you do. Because I don't want to pay that price. Then I feel bad. After I cussed you out, or I was in the wrong. So I gotta make amends so I can feel good again. Man, it's good to feel good. No matter if this economy goes down the drain, so what? You know, so why do we go to another war? I'm powerless. Powerless over people, places, and things. And this is what I found. I don't control anybody or anything. Sometimes I have a hard time controlling myself. More or less anybody else. So how can, am I going to live anybody else's life, man? I thought I'd do a terrible job, even after all this time. You would think I'd have it made. You'd think I'd be walking on water. But let me tell you, man, I stink. Just because I got 37 years around here doesn't mean stuff doesn't happen to me. But you know, I can always correct it. As long as I don't drink, I got a chance. As long as I don't get loaded, I got a chance. And that's the key. This old timer used to put it very simple for me. About that first drink. He said, hell, I never drank one drink in my whole life. It was always a fifth one or the 10th one or the 24-pack that got me into jail. never was a first drink. He told me, Bernard, it's that first drink that's going to kill you. It's just like standing in the middle of a railroad track. What's the first thing that's going to kill you, Bernard? It sure ain't going to be the caboose. It's going to be the engine. And that's the same thing with that first drink for an alcoholic just like me. It's that first drink that's going to kill me. It's that first hit. You know how it is. You know, you start drinking, you know. And I came for a while, and I said, oh, man, I'll come to AA, stop drinking, but I'll smoke weed on the side. And this guy in AA told me, I told him, you know what, man, I'll stop drinking. That's all he says here. He doesn't say nothing about, marijuana on the side. I'll just do that for a while. And he told me, Bernard, yeah, go ahead, start smoking. And what happens when you start smoking a lot of dope, a lot of marijuana? He said, your throat starts beginning to get dry. And then what happens when it gets dry? You're going to have a beer. And there you go, man. You're off and running again. See how simple it is? It is a simple program, but I was so complicated I couldn't even see myself. But today I see myself. I'm honest with myself today. You're not like Bernard today. I'm the best Bernard I ever was in my whole life. Man, and it's okay, man. I don't care if you guys don't like me. That's cool. Now, you got a choice, either like me or don't like me, and I got a choice in life to like you or not like you. There's a lot of people in AA I just don't like, and it's okay. But I don't go out on my way to prove it anymore. I'm beating the hell out of you. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. And start nagging everybody in the room or try to, throw those wisecracks at them, Hey, that's kid stuff. I finally grew up in AA. That's what it's all about. I grew up here in AA. I used to come to meetings talking to street talk. Mother F this, mother F that, mother F this, F you guys. Oh, yeah, when you're 22, 24 years old, 25 years old, it ain't too much going to stop you. Until this old guy, John Rice was his name, white guy, too. Hey, kid, come here. Goddamn kid.
What the hell does this old man want with me?
And he throws a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous at me. He said, show me where you see all those words that you said. Show me. Show me where they are in this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want you to show me. And I couldn't do it. And he told me, you know what? He said, when you go up against a judge, you don't talk like that, do you? When you go to church, do you talk like that? He said, this is my way of life here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I choose for you not to talk here, because this is my church. This is my courtroom. So I had to change some of the whole behavior. I had to change for myself. But this guy's pointed it out to me. One time I really got honest at an AA meeting. I think I had about 2 months over. And I said, you ain't nothing here, Nate. You want me to get honest? I'll get honest with you. Effing people. I said, ain't nothing here but a bunch of damn alcoholic, old alcoholics, and that's all there is around here. I don't give a heck about you guys. So I walked out of the meeting at the Alamo Club. And let me tell you, this old lady, Opal was her name. I still remember to this day. Old red hair, looked like a witch from I don't know where. And then I went to where the pool tables were at, like right here, And he said, listen to me, you goddamn kid. Started yelling at me, man. There was a bunch of people like it is now, out in the club drinking coffee and stuff. And I said, man, is this lady disrespecting me, man? I'm going to knock her out, So I reached over to do that, and all of a sudden this light came up, man. I said, Bernard. Man, if you beat up this old lady, what are these people going to think about you, man? Beating up an old lady like that. she became one of my best friends in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, old Opal. This lady, she would get anybody mad. She moved to Washington, right? And back then, they could give you a little serenity prayer, A serenity prayer with a hand and a dime. They always used to say, the old timers would say, if you get messed up or anything, call me before you take that drink. You know, it's all you're going to cost you is a dime. Well, I knew she was going to Washington, you know, so I said, I got this, and I put a dime in it. And she, man, this lady had more sobriety than God in AA. She's one of these old timers, you know, real deacon, man. I tell her, so I gave her this serenity prayer. She looked at me, you goddamn kid, you know. But, you know, we were good friends, and she really loved me. She went over there, and that's why Mont St. Helens blew up. They chased her from there and came back to Fresno, and she had some relatives up in Oakhurst, and real nice place. I met a lot of good people here in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they put up with me. I wasn't lovable at that time. I don't know how they stood me to, you know, handle a guy like me. I figured, I was still too young, I guess. You know, they figured they love me to death, and they almost did, you know. And it's okay today, because I do love a lot of people, and I can say that today. I used to hear people say, I love everybody in this room. They know, and now I love everybody in this room. This guy, man, he's lying. You know how we say, everybody lies in AA, you know. Liars, thieves, and thieves here. That's what an alcoholic is, ain't it? That's why we know where you're coming from. Can't bullshit a bullshitter. And that's the way it is. I'll be honest with you. We can. We all come from that. We all share the same feelings, like fear. You know, I have to put this front on. I couldn't let you know that I was scared. Scared at 22 years old, man. I was scared. I had a lot of fear. Fear of you guys knowing that I couldn't read or write. That would put me on this dumb line over here. You know, we're not too dumb to make this program. We're all winners here in AA. We used to talk about the winners in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the winners are the ones that are staying sober one day at a time. You are a winner. And it's here for anybody. You know, that third step. Turn your life and your will over to God as you understand it. As you understand it. And then I went to that fourth step. You know, that fourth step, man. You know, things to be like a silk cheaters meeting in Fresno, where all the educated, all the money people went, people call it palm and shop. And I said, you know, hell, I'm just as good as anybody. So I started going to this meeting over there where all these silk cheaters hung out and talked the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they said, well, if you don't work that fourth step, you're going to get drunk. I said, oh, I don't want to get drunk. You're supposed to write out your fourth step. Write out the fourth step. Can you imagine? Hell, I couldn't even spell check, and they want me to write out the fourth step. Man, I couldn't even read the book. So, man, I started getting worried here, man. You know, I had a few years sober and trying to figure this thing out, you know. And then I heard this speaker over there in Fresno, because, you know, they got speaker meetings around AA, or conferences. That's what it was. It was an AA conference in Fresno. And this speaker spoke out there, and his name was Black Mac. And he was a black guy, top it off. And he talked about how he couldn't read or write. And he talked about the steps, and he said that he killed two birds with one stone. I said, well, what the hell does he mean by that? He said he talked out the fourth and fifth step. And that's what I did. I talked it out with somebody. It's okay, you know, to have somebody you can tell some of this, you know, stuff you don't want anybody else to know. And that's the way I work my fourth step in Alcoholics Anonymous. And then the fifth step. And then you go to the sixth step. And then at times, you know, we work the first and 12th step. You know, it's just like this guy said, work the steps. I heard one guy, work the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Don't be a two-stepper. And I couldn't figure out what the hell he meant by a two-stepper. And then he told me, hey, it's like this, Bernard. If you put your, you got a 12-foot ladder here. You put one foot on the first step, and then you put the other one on the 12th step, and it's pretty damn uncomfortable in between. I guess there's more to it than just the one and two steps. Oh, yeah, we're running around, carrying the message, trying to save the world. Yeah. You know, we can't do that. I couldn't do it anyway. You know, I can only, you know, save myself, and I have a hard time doing that in some situations. Let me tell you, in some situations get pretty sticky. But anyway, you know, it's here, and I found it here 37 years ago, and I'm still here, and I'm still going to. And I kind of evolve. I don't know if some of you people do any H&I work. That hospital and institution for the newcomers that don't know what it is. If we go to prisons and we go to jails, and what I'm doing here tonight, we talk to the inmates, you know, and a lot of those guys are doing my time. And due to this program, it could have been me. And it could be you. If we continue to keep drinking and drugging and the road you're going, you can stop right now. I'll guarantee everybody here. If you don't take the first drink, the first hit of anything, any mind-altering drugs, you're going to stay sober. I'll guarantee it. It's that first one that's going to kill you. Yeah. And I got to give this program that I'm calling you in. You got to give it away to keep it. And this is what I'm here doing here tonight. So somebody gave me what I have today. They passed it on to me. Now I'm going to pass it on to you. And this is how it works. It's very simple. And don't stop coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. I learned throughout the years, you know, I got my scouts. They go back out there and try it again. And then they come back and tell me how bad it is. I haven't seen one of them come back and tell me how good it is. None. Zero. Let me tell you. Zero tolerance. How good it is out there. And the lucky ones come back. A lot of them don't come back. A lot of them die out there. And you know us, I ain't hurting anybody, I just want to drink. Well, let me tell you, we hurt a lot of people out there when we're drinking. Not just ourselves. A lot of people. You know, that's why they send us to jail. You know, they don't send us because we're good boys. Man, they send us there, man, because we got a problem. But we don't want to admit it. Denial, denial, denial. Being dishonest to ourselves. So if you get honest with yourself, and admit what's really wrong with you. You're not the only one. We're all here. You know, we're all alcoholics. We all robbed. We all fought. We all cheated. I done it. But I don't have to do it anymore. You know, that's what I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And feel good about it. It was a high at one time, stealing. Oh, man, we got it on that dude, you know, chucking and jiving. And man, I tell you, I don't even want to think about that life anymore, but compared to the life that I have today. I learned how to read a little bit better. Because I, you know, this whole time I told me to go back to school, and I have. It's all up to us if we want to do something about it. It's up to you. There is no much expression that I can say for Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't have to defend Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous defends itself. Still here after all these years. And it's a wonderful way to live. If there was something better out there than Alcoholics Anonymous, you know these alcoholics, they'll be there. I haven't found anything better yet than Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, church is okay. You know, it works for some people. But, you know, it doesn't work for me. I call my God as I understand him here in Alcoholics Anonymous. By working with you people, you know, working with newcomers, going to jail, trying to give away the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. I do not force AA on anybody. It's your choice. What you want to do with your life. And alcohol, and here it's a matter of life and death. What makes you think that you're going to come back tomorrow to go out and get drunk again? AA is pretty serious stuff here. You know, I take it serious. I'll go to hell with anybody, any of you guys in here, before you take the first drink. Well, once you take the first drink, you can go to hell by yourself. Because I ain't going with you. I'm not going to go to that hell. That drinking hell that I come out of. Man, I feel a lot better. The judge is in after me. The cops in after me. My homeboys in after me because I burned them. Nobody. Nobody's after me today. What a freedom that I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Freedom. Nobody's after me and I don't know anybody anything. Man, that's a hell of a good feeling. When you got confidence within yourself, that's a good feeling. When you're honest with yourself, when you don't fear anybody, you know, when all these defects of character have been lifted from you, it's a hell of a good feeling, let me tell you. I walk tall today, man, and it's okay. I don't care if you like it or not. I know myself. You don't hurt me, I don't hurt you. Simple as that. Live and let live. There's times where I gotta
turn the other cheek, and it's okay.
It doesn't make me any more of a man or any less of a man.
Why get into it? It's not worth it. Not worth my peace of mind.
I found a peace of mind here in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's unreal, man. I'm comfortable with myself by myself. That's how good it is. Before I needed action, I needed this, I needed that, I needed something, man. I need something going on in my life. But today I don't even need that. It's good to be at peace. And I found it here in Alcoholics Anonymous.
And that's part of the serenity. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. There's a spiritual program here that's unbeatable, man. Better than church for me. And that's what I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous.
And God works through you people. I honestly believe that for me. That God works through you people. The newcomers, the old-timers. And there's been a meeting where I've been all tore up and somebody says something and it brings me back. You don't have to be no genius to come to Alcoholics. Have to be smart and have to do anything. You don't even have to change your whole way of life if you don't want to. It's a good program for an alcoholic just like me, or for a boozer, a loser. You know. And today I don't have to do that. I don't have to hurt anybody anymore. The biggest guy that I hurt was myself. I hated my parents. Because my dad was a drunk. And he always used to beat me up when he used to come home. Drunk and beat me up. And I used to swear, I'll never be like him. I'll never be like him. And man, I ended up to be worse than my dad. That's pretty bad. And I hated my parents. How come they didn't give me an education? How come my dad used to beat me up all the time? Just because of, you know, I got three sisters and I got two brothers. You know, and then there's three of them that are dark. And then there's three of them that are, you know, white. And my dad's a dark one. You know, he used to beat me up. And I don't know why. Maybe I blamed it on that, huh? They used to call me the widow in the body. That means, you know, the white guy, the white Mexican. There he is, looking. Again, the diablo, man. The devil's coming, you know. But anyway, you know, it's here. It's a wonderful way to live. I guarantee you that much. You know, just give yourself a break. Especially for you newcomers. You know, hell. They don't lock you up because you drink too many chocolate shakes. Man. They lock you up because I drank a lot. It took me a while to figure that one out, huh? I wasn't too bright when I got here. But I'm a little bit brighter today. You know, thanks to God and this wonderful program that I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. But you know what? It's a self-help program. Help yourself. Do yourself a favor. That's what I did 37 years ago. And let me tell you, things are good. Materially, yeah, it's all right. I have more today than what I had when I got in here. Hell, I can hold a job for you. And I've been able to hold it out for a long time. I got old here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm 60 years old. Damn. Just turned 60 in March. But it's okay today. I can accept that. I can accept anything that comes my way. I don't blame people, places, and things for my mistakes anymore. Anything that I do today, I ain't got nobody to blame but Bernard. So you gotta eat it, and you gotta keep on going. You know, when I get a little depressed, I talk to myself. I say, okay, Bernard, snap out of it. It ain't that bad. Just remember where you come from. It turns real good. The cops ain't after me. Man, that's a good feeling. When you got a dollar in your pocket, that's even better. You know, I used to have a lot of friends. And this is one thing I picked up from my mother, and I'll never forget it. This is, you know, they used to book me and I used to go to jail, but nobody would visit me except my mother. She was my bail bondsman. And she said, Bernard, there's no more friends anymore. You got to remember that the only friend you got is a dollar in your pocket. And I came to Alcoholics Anonymous all broken down, no money, nothing. And there used to be this old timer named KB Butt. He said, come here, kid, you're going to sober up. And one day you're going to keep a couple of dollars in your pocket. This was an old Skid Row wino. Came out of Skid Row, didn't have anything when he came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And this guy died with about 40 or 50 years in AA. And he built up a life of himself. But
time he died, that guy had more
rentals, more apartments, more cars than Carteret Hills.
And we all can do that.
If you're not spending it on attorneys, you're not spending it on fixing your cars, you'll have a couple of bucks in your pocket. Think about it. Especially if you were a drunk driver like me, my car would last me 2 weeks, man. I was wrecked. I was a drunk driving fool out there. I didn't care who I ran over, man. Just give me those keys, man. You know, I fight for my keys. Nobody drove my car, you know. And then the next day I'm crying, man, because it's all beat up. You know, it's the next day that we pay the price. And then they used to tell me, don't you know that you broke all the furniture? And my wife yelling at me. I said, oh, shit. Every time I see a newcomer come in like that with those black eyes and stuff, it reminds me of me. But that's the way I used to be. Always getting beat up. There's always somebody to beat me up. I never could figure that one out until I came here to Alcoholics Anonymous. And by not drinking, half of that trouble went away. I couldn't believe it, man. It got better in AA. And it's been getting better ever since. It gets better here in Alcoholics Anonymous. It never stops. I'm barely at the tip of it. Barely. Barely scratching the surface of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because it's everything that I am today. Today I got a driver's license, I got a car, I got a home. And let me tell you, a lot of stuff don't happen good in AA. I was married when I got here. My daughter was about a year and a half when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. 21 years of marriage, I think I had 18 years sober in AA. My marriage went south. I got a divorce. My kid, my daughter, hadn't talked to me in 17 years. Not talked to me one time in 17 years. But you know what, man? The name of this game is to stay sober and keep the door open if they ever choose to come back. Got a divorce. I was paying child support and spousal support. My daughter was over 18 when I got out of divorce. My son, he was about 11. So I was broke again. You know, divorce is just broke, let me tell you. I was living on $300 a week. 48% of my check was going for child support and spousal support. Fine. I can deal with that, you know. So anyway, to make a long story short, here I was still paying spousal support. I took my ex-wife back to court. I figured, hey man, 17 years of paying this spousal support is enough, man. You know, let's get something going. But you know, my kid, he was still going to college, so I kind of, you know, said, all right. But anyway, I took her back to court, and my son gets mad at me. He said, why are you taking my mother back to court? I said, what do you mean, what am I taking my mother? Hell, I've been paying for her for 35 years. Isn't that long enough? More than I paid for you. So he hasn't talked to me for about 4 or 5 years. But you know what? Life goes on. Let me tell you, man. You know, hey, don't take it serious. The most important thing for me is for me to stay sober. What is it going to prove for me to go get drunk? Yeah. Am I going to still get him back? I'll probably go there, get drunk, probably shoot him and kill him. That's probably what I'll do. I know myself, the insanity that goes on with me. You know that Bernard, he's arrested. That night is still there. And he's just being arrested by all the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, all the good stuff that I learned here in AA. So a lot of stuff, just because you're sober up, doesn't mean it's going to go 100% good. You're going to have bumps on the road. But you don't have to get drunk over them. You can stay sober. I've seen AA members die from cancer and they die sober here in Alcoholics Anonymous. So if something like that ever happens to me, I'm not going to use it as an excuse to go get loaded and get drunk. They died sober, man. They died fighting the disease, whatever it was, their cancer, their tumors or whatever they might develop, brain tumors, whatever. A lot of my friends died like that, old-timers in Alcoholics Anonymous. They used to come in their wheelchairs, and then pretty soon, you know, they passed away, but they died sober. This is a message that they gave me, that no matter what happens in Alcoholics Anonymous, stay sober. Don't get loaded. It's not going to prove anything. Has it ever proved anything?
I don't think I'll go out tonight. You know, you got drunk driving the other day. I'll show them, and then you end up in more trouble. That's me, man. I've ended up in more trouble than you can shake a stick at.
But it's all up to you guys, and I know it's almost time for me to zip it. You know how alcoholics are. You know we love to talk. And this is what I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Now I can't shut up. Let me tell you, I got these AA disease. You know.
I passed here for 6 months when I was first sober. Well, I'm Bernard, I'm an alcoholic, and I'll pass. Because I thought I didn't have anything good to say. But even if you got a day, man, you know, that's one day of sobriety, and it's a good thing. And you got something good to say. We all have something good to say here in Alcoholics Anonymous. You're helping me, and I'm helping you, and together we're going to stay sober. And I'll help you in any way I can. We'll go to hell together, man, as long as you don't take that first drink. And I'll help you throughout the way. I'll show you this way of life that I found. If it's too personal, I'll tell you too, one-to-one. I don't like to, you know, talk about my real personal stuff here in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's why you get a sponsor or a good friend in Alcoholics Anonymous. Or you work your fourth step with your priest or your minister or what have you. This is the thing that I learned here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And watch the amends that you make. Because you might hurt yourself and you might hurt somebody else. Some amends I can't make up. One time I shot 3 people. You think they're going to be happy to see me and say I'm sorry?
No.
Come on, man. They're going to, you know, they're going to be mean to me, man. I will be alive, and I realize that today. But anyway, I thank you for having me here today. And it's been a privilege to be here as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I hope you newcomers and young people keep coming back. Thank you.